In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter. Jesus also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? Thus far the text. Sinful flesh is so easily enticed, so much so that even the law can become attractive, because weak flesh actually thinks that it can fulfill it. It's the slippery slope of piety or devotedness. Within you there come urges to take the word of God seriously, and as is often the case, the commandments of God, or his law, is what is paid attention to first and foremost. Why is this? It's simple. It's because before, it did not seem to matter what God had to say, as long as you did not get caught in shame before the world. But then, all of a sudden, the weak flesh thinks it can straighten things out with God by more devoutly following his commands. You may have family members or friends that reveal this kind of behavior, speaking or acting just right. But in your weak, sinful flesh, you do this as well. Now, in God's whole counsel, both his law and his gospel, this isn't a bad beginning. For Jesus himself, in saying to the rich young ruler elsewhere in the Holy Scriptures, who asked him what he must do to inherit eternal life, Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." But then it happens over and over again. You believe that from that moment forward, you will somehow become better. And thanks to the law, it will somehow be easier for you to live a good Christian life, according to the law. But here's what happens. Even if it is God who is bringing you to be a faithful Christian, you in your sinful flesh get in the way, and you begin to compare yourselves to others, actually judging others. Here is when you begin to say that you are not like other men, extortioners, adulterers, murderers, and so forth. Oh, heaven forbid if you should be like them. It seems like this is not a bad thing to be doing. After all, you are the shining example, right? If others really wanted to, they could be just as good as you, right? Well, in the midst of your piety, it all just became nothing. Because the measuring stick with which you are measuring yourself is corrupted. Not only is what you're comparing yourself to corrupted, but in your look at my shiny example, piety, you have also made yourself the measuring stick. You have raised yourself to others as if you are setting the bar. To what can this be compared? Our Lord reveals this to us. It's like the blind leading the blind. It is precisely because you judge others that you yourselves are judged. All that is truly shows is that you have not taken the law of God as it is intended. You have not taken it seriously. You have used it as some moral guideline and then abandoned it. Now, there are some out there that are sitting saying, well, I certainly don't judge others because I know myself already to be imperfect. So this whole message today, you know, it really just doesn't apply to me today. Nice try. God's word is always for you. Why? Because it is what opens wide your eyes to reveal the log that is in there. The sin that remains until he brings you heavenward. God's law demands that you only compare yourselves to God. How's that working out for you? Be perfect as he is perfect. Be merciful as he is merciful. And holy as he is holy. The law doesn't allow any possibility for you to be satisfied with yourself. It is God who is the only one who has a clear eye. And it's God who sent his Son to remove the logs from your eyes. The eyes have ever deceived since Eve's eyes thought that the fruit looked delightful. All that the eyes have revealed ever since then is your bondage of the will, your bondage of imperfection, your bondage to sin. But it's our Lord who calls you to live, not by sight, but by faith, by hearing, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He just sealed Paul Thomas Weiss into such assurance, beginning his dying and rising through Christ crucified, by combining his word with the water. Your eyes are too dim to see. God must close your eyes and bring you to trust the shepherd's voice. He must bring you to live by faith, believing that your shepherd is merciful, gracious, and kind, despite what you think you see, despite all of the present sufferings of this world. Our Lord leads by the ear through his word. He is not blind. His eye is clear, and he knows what he is doing. He is as perfect, merciful, and holy as the Father. He does not judge nor condemn. He forgives. He gives in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He doesn't operate as man operates. He doesn't count on scales or charts. For in the world's eyes, he is a foolish merchant and a ridiculous shepherd. He will not charge what is fair. In fact, he will not charge at all. It is by grace alone. What man meant as evil, God meant for good. Our Lord hung himself upon the logs that he took from your sinful eyes. He hung himself outside the city gate, your sins crossed to hold him up. He hung himself upon them to the death, until all of your sins were gone. It is finished. In perfect love and obedience, without fear or without the counting of the cost, he determined that you are worth it. It did not even matter to him if it seems wasteful to all of the world, that most will not benefit from his sacrifice, that most will reject it out of hand, that most will even say, "It's summer. I have better things to do than to receive the forgiveness of my sins." To the world, God's only begotten Son was a poor steward with his own life and blood. To the world and your sinful flesh, it is shocked that Jesus didn't look at his own life and think, "I only have so much time here, so I'm going to make it all about me having fun." No. He is the perfect second Adam, sent to live the perfect life, because you cannot and you won't. Sent to die the perfect death, because you cannot and you won't. All so that he could have you. He holds no grudge. He's not upset. He has deemed that you are worth it. The law of God is good and wise. It reveals a deep corruption and bondage that exposes you as blind indeed, that you nor your neighbor can ever be the standard to live up to. Yet as the will of God is always best, self-examination, according to God's Ten Commandments, is him leading you. It's the living Christ Jesus leading with his perfect vision. You hear his voice. You know your shepherd and the way that he goes. You know because through the law he has led you to repentance and belief. As Christians, you are not the blind leading the blind. You are blind, but you are being led through your ear. Christ's holy cross, made from the logs of your eyes, is the sacrifice of God to make man his again. It is the winnowing of hell, the quenching of the fiery sword that kept you out of paradise. It's the removal of the curtain that hid the presence of mercy, and it's the crushing of the serpent's lying head. It's the holy cross of Jesus Christ crucified that is good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Jesus Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins is a good measure of his love for you. And it's that love that he drives you to receive, to partake of, over and over, leading you to the heavenly realms through the way of Christ crucified's cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.